honey. Hello?
Hello.
Calling from Sedona.
How are you doing?
Great. Got a great view here.
It's beautiful there.
Are you okay?
I hear you okay, Joe. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Restart your computer and call me.
I can't hear you.
Restart your computer. We're having technical problems on the Ubu call, so it'll be a minute or two. Okay. Please join me in saying the Anapakoa. Getting started. Anapakoa. Vidula chumin ha tati sehura alape gimel yutat sadi kabil rinat amcha sagneinu aharenu no ra hu fresh iron in that nun na gibor do che yehu ta ke va va sham rem don be modal yud kaf chin Vahem tahare Rahme sikadha Dami Gamlem Betetrich Saditat Gimel Pasim Kadosh Spiro Tuka Nae Adata Et kufet et nunayim. Yachid geya lamcha b'nei dobrei kedushata. Yud gimelamet pei zayim kuf. The letters of the month, the resh and the zayin, they spell the words raz, which means secret. Or concealment. They have a gematria of 207, the same as the Hebrew word for light, or. The Kabbalists refer to Hashem as the light. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmati Akatenu, Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Sadi Yutta. The eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm now going to read from the Zohar. A parsha of Korach. I'm reading from the first section, which is now Korach, the first verse in the parasha. And I'm reading verse number 4. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenehu. Vayikach Korach mai vayikeh nasi lita isha legarmei O de Rada, the Tsar Delai, Delay, Ihu Iri Arik, Mikame, Delod Ela, Madi It Be Itavid, Mine, Korach Radif, Fatar Delav, Delay, Avid Viachara La. Now Korach took He asks, what is the meaning of took? He responds, he took faulty counsel for himself. If one chases after something that does not belong to him, it escapes from him, and he even loses what he has. Porak chased after something that was not his. Therefore, he lost his own, and no one else gained. You've just heard a very accurate description of the effect of jealousy. Nobody gains. You don't get what you think you want because it's not yours. If it was yours, you'd already have it. If it's to be yours in the future, then work towards it. But your jealousy draws the energy from the other person. But it doesn't stay with you. It goes to the other side. It strengthens the other side. And the other side doesn't really appreciate what you do for him. He's doing his job, which is to lengthen your process, and you're falling into his trap. There are tools to let go of your jealousy, and that's one of the spiritual lessons in Korach. One of the physical lessons in Korach, which is something many people have difficulty relating to, understanding, dealing with, is that we can control natural occurrences. What people don't understand is that if you are walking in your city and it's between midnight and 6, and it's raining, that's what it's supposed to be. If it's raining at 4 in the afternoon, it's an indication of cleansing, that people have drawn this upon themselves. That's why you have such chaos from the rain and other natural things. The world with man did not make his mistakes. The world would work perfectly. The rain would rain between midnight and 6 or 8 in the morning so that nobody would be upset and disturbed by it. All of the other natural events, earthquakes, the earth would expand. The earth needs to expand. The earth is malchut. It needs to grow its vessel, but it doesn't need to do so catastrophically. It can do so a tenth of an inch a year in a regular process. All of this can be controlled. We just have to realize that we can and then do it at the appropriate times. Does anybody have any questions or comments? I am going to change the code on the telephone conference because I'm getting some feedback. So to order the... Yes, go ahead.
I just wondered what prayer you did last week when I was unable to get to a computer.
I sent you the link, Connie.
I know, but could you tell me so I can look it up on the computer now?
I apologize. I don't remember.
Oh, that's
Does
okay.
Does anybody remember what I did last week? When I do these classes, it's really not me who's doing it. And I don't. Sometimes I really don't remember the words I've said, and
I have to listen
to my recording to know what I said. And I don't. It's just the way the system works, you know.
Understand.
The people in the class draw the information through me. This is not my material. It's material that comes. Yes, I've studied. Yes, it comes from my connection, but it's drawn through me to the people who have a desire for it. And that's why every class is different, because the people in that class are different. And they're drawing different aspects of the energy. And so my words change. If you ever listen to take any one of the basic classes, snippets are on the website and listen to more than one or two or three of them, you'll see the differences.
Understood.
Okay, I am changing because I'm getting some feedback on the speaker here, so. You'll need to press star 6 to be heard from now on. So today's class is about prayer, and it is located, the handout is located, or the link to the handout is located on yeshem.com/KabbalahPrayer.htm. And Kabbalah Prayer is KABBALAH-PRAYER.htm. And if you scroll down, the class we're doing today is second from the bottom. It's Ashrei Yoshveh. It says I did this last week, but I'm pretty sure I did not. I think I did Shema Yisrael last week. I'm looking at this and I'm seeing that the top part of this is gone, which meant that the computer jumped and I didn't realize that it had erased it. So I apologize for that and I will replace it. What I'm speaking about now, you're not going to be reading. But it is very important that you relate to this psalm. The Kabbalists teach that saying this prayer, Ashrei Yoshveh. Ashrei Yoshveh. Yes? This prayer, if said three times during the day, the Kabbalists say guarantees you a connection to the world to come. You'll find that the Kavanot that we go through and discuss today is dealing a lot with manifestation, not just manifestation of things in the physical world, what your dreams are, but a very practical level of parnassah, of money, of earning a living. These three prayers, we say one prior to the Shema, the morning Shema. Now, I'm going to confuse you. The Shema I've given you so far is just the first two letters, first two lines. And that is said as part of your morning ritual before the communal prayer. When Barku, which I haven't taught you, is the sign of the communal prayer. And relatively early in that communal prayer, we will say Ashrei Yoshve. We will say this Psalm number 145 plus two verses at the beginning, which start with the word Ashrei, and one verse at the end. The total is 24 verses. There are some groups that add two additional verses at the end that end with Ashrei, or the word, those last two start with Ashrei. But that is not the normal, I don't want to say normal, that is not the traditional pattern that has come down to us. So, somebody has unmuted their phone and has not remuted it. So please press star 6 again so that the speaker does. Thank you. Okay. As I was saying, the three times a day that we say this, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to, I'm still getting this feedback, so I'm going to have to. All of your phones are muted, and I will, a couple of times during the class, I'll try and remember to change it back so that you can ask a question. If you do have a question, please write it down so you don't forget it. So as I was saying, these three times that we say it, the first time is at the during the communal prayer, relatively early in that process. The second time we say it is after the communal prayer, prior to any additional study that one might do. Most people go to their prayer and think that they're finished when the minyan is finished. But it's really good to stay a few extra minutes and study. Take out a chumash, which is sitting there right in front of you. Hopefully there's a Zohar there. Bring a Zohar with you. Scan a few, read a few verses. Study in the traditional sense of what's taught in the Western world is not study in what the sages are referring to. Study in Judaism is using the Hebrew letters to change yourself. And so whether you're reading the Tanakh, or you're reading the Zohar, or you're reading another sage, those letters are going to change you. Now, most people have this desire, since many of us don't speak Hebrew, don't understand Hebrew when we read it, we want to run and read it in English so we can understand what's being said. But this is not the source of the energy. And it's something we really need to remember. Even though in my prayers I'm giving you the transliterations, we need to constantly remember that it's the Hebrew letters that is giving us the energy. The third time we say Ashrei Yoshve is in the afternoon prayer. We don't say it in the evening prayer for the simple reason that we've said it right, left, and central the three times, always in the time when the sun is shining. The sun may be in decline, Chas V'Shalom, in the sense that it's going down in the afternoon. But there's still some energy of chesed. And that is the connection of this prayer. It's bringing that energy of chesed. Now, since I've lost a lot of this, I'm going to, when I say I've lost it, truly I've lost it, and I have to recreate this top part of the handout. But I'm going to read the whole prayer, all 24 verses, along with some of the Kavanot as we go through it. Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, Od Yehalleluha Selah. That is the first verse. And that is the verse in chapter 84 of Tehillim, or Psalms, verse 5. It doesn't connect with the whole 21 verses of chapter 45. It's added by the sages because of its first phrases. Ashrei Yoshvei means praising, praising God. Why should we praise God? Does God need our praises? No, we know he doesn't need our praises. But this sequence, Ashrei, actually can be interpreted as my head. Ashrei is a Rosh, the same letters of Rosh with a Yud at the end. So it can be translated as my head. My head is being changed as I'm saying these letters. The next verse, the second verse, is from Tehillim 144, verse 15. And it also starts with Ashrei. Ashrei ham shekaka lo Ashrei ham shehashem Elohim. And it's only when we get to verse 3 that we start Psalm 145. Now, well, Psalm 145 is the last psalm before the five final psalms that each start with and end with the word hallelujah. As we know, hallelujah is another word for praise. Ashrei is the praise from the frame of the Keter, from the frame of the seed, from the frame of the head. Hallelujah is the praising from the frame of Malchut. Tehillah le-David aroni imcha, Elohai ha-melech ve-avarka, Shimcha le-olam va-et, Be-kol yom avarkecha, Va-ha-le-la, Shimcha le-olam va-et, Gadol Adonai umhulal me'od ligdulato en heker dor ledor yeshabeach me'asecha ugvurotecha yagidu hadar kavod hodecha V'divrei nifliotecha ashlicha V'ezus norotecha yomeru ugdulacha Asaprena zecher altucha yabiu v'sitkacha Yiraneinu Chanun v'rachum Hashem arech Apayim ugdal chased Tov Hashem lakol v'rachamal Al kol ma'asav Yoducha Adonai Kol ma'asecha V'chassidecha Yevarku ka kevod mafusa Yomeru burasa Yedaberu Leodia livne adam Kiburota Uglod hadar Malchuto Malchutcha Malchut kol olamim Umemshaltecha Bechol dor bador Somech Adonai lekol hanoflim Vezokech Lekol hakefufim Ene kol elecha Yeshaberu ve'ata Noten lachem et achlam Be'ito Boteach et yadecha. It is at this point that you open up your hands to receive, because that's really what the phrase says. Poteach et yadecha says, open up your hands. The balance of the phrase, which I will say, says to receive the beneficence of Hashem. The first letters of Poteach et yadecha are Pei, Aleph, and Yud. Pei, Aleph, Yud has a gematria of 91. 91 is the gematria of Amen. 91 is the gematria of 65 plus 26. 65 is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai, plus 26, the Tetragrammaton. Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is the name of God in the frame of Malchut, in the physical world. Hashem is the name of God in the spiritual world. 91 is unifying the spiritual with the physical. This is the process of drawing the Parnassah. This is the process of the flow of the beneficence of Hashem. The last letters of this, of these three words, Poteach et Yadecha, spell the name Chet Taf Kaf. And the Kabbalists have told us, intertwine this name in the Tetragrammaton. Yud, Chet, He, Taf, Vav, Kaf, He. This is a name of God that deals with the flow of beneficence. Now I'm going to say the balance of the verse. Umash bi alechol chai ratzon. The last three words, lechol chai ratzon, their first letters spell the name Rachel. Rachel, our mother, one of the wives of Jacob, represents a chariot for Malchut. Everything in this verse is dealing with drawing and manifesting the energy of Parnassah. We say this same verse in the prayer after the eating. The same Kavanah, the same intention applies there. Every time you hear this verse said, you should open up your hands to receive. That physical action of opening up your hands also is part of the manifestation. It is one thing to say the words, and that's very important. But we live in the world of Asiyah, the world of action. And sometimes it takes more than words to manifest the actions in this world. I'm continuing to chant or sing with my voice. Sadiq Hashem Bekaldirakav Bechasid Bekalmasav Karov Hashem Bekal Karav Bekal Asher Yikrau Bemet Retzon Yireyav Yaseh Ve'et Shavatam Yishma Ve'yoshiyeh Shomer Hashem Et Kolo Havav Ve'et Kol Harshayim Yashmid Tehilat Hashem Yidaber Yivivarech Kol basar shen kacho Le'olam ba'et V'anachnu nivarech Yame'ata li'ad olam Hallelujah Tikon tefilati Ketoret nefanecha Mashat kapai Minchat arev Hapshiva Lekol shali Malki velohai Ki elecha Et palev These verses, each of them, there are significant amount of Kavanah in each of these verses. But in a general sense, this psalm is done in the order of the alphabet. The first two verses start from the word Ashrei, from praising. And then we hit the third verse that starts with the Aleph. Fourth verse is Bet, fifth verse is Gimel. We start and go through the Aleph Bet. Whenever you see a prayer that's going through the order of the Aleph Bet, it's putting your life in order. It's bringing chesed and mercy into your life. That's why the sages put it into this order. That's why King David wrote this psalm in this order. Now, there are two unique aspects of this psalm. One of them is, I'm telling you it's in the order of the alphabet, but if you go and look, you won't find a verse that starts with a nun. The reason for that is the nun represents falling, the potential for falling. And so rather than connect with that potential and give the opening to the negative side, we just skip that letter. And then I did express to you what the pay represents. But remember from our learning about the pay, the pay represents the mouth with the bet inside, the bet for blessing internally. Our expression of Ashrei Yoshev is the expression of our mouth expressing the blessings. And it is this process of expressing the blessings that assists you in your parnasah, in your method of receiving the beneficence of God. there needs to be a circuit of energy, a complete structure, a complete cycle, in order to receive Parnassa. Now, I know what I'm going to say is going to be very difficult for people to handle, to understand, to agree with. It doesn't matter. I'm speaking to you the words of the sages. I'm speaking to you the truth of the spiritual system. You do not earn your money. Hashem determines the amount of money every person will receive during the next year on Rosh Hashanah. And then it gets confirmed on Yom Kippur. And it's potentially changed through to further tshuva up until what's the last day of Sukkot? No, before that. The last day of Sukkot, not Shmini Atzeret. Shmini Atzeret is a separate holiday. It'll come to me. But essentially, the amount of money that you are going to receive during the year is determined on Rosh Hashanah.
Hoshana Rabbah,
thank you. That's the last day of Sukkot. That is the last opportunity we have to make changes to that decree. Now, what does that mean? If you're a retail clerk in a retail store, you can spend 8 hours a day standing behind the counter, and you will generate a sales volume for that day through 10 people or 20 people or 30 people, whatever it comes to. Let's say, as an example, it comes to $1,000. Or you can have one customer come in and make a sale for $1,000 that one time in 5 minutes. Why do you have to be there 8 hours? Well, because the world perceives that we are responsible for our actions. That if I work harder, if I work longer, I'm going to earn more money. It's totally false. These are the words of the sages. You want to know how to increase your income? Study more Torah. There is a direct connection. In fact, the sages have said, the Talmud, the Torah has said, in Psalms, King David has said, the world exists only through the Torah of little children and the Talmid HaChamim, the wise people who study. If you think you're in control of the flow of your own money, you're making a mistake. It's a very human mistake. It's normal. It doesn't mean it's correct. Yes, it takes certainty to live like that. When Rabbi Shimon first came out of his cave, at the end of 12 years, he looked and he saw people farming. And he became overwhelmed, so much so that he looked at the man and let loose his power, and the man burned up. Why was he so upset? Because the man has the opportunity to study Torah and would prefer to earn his living. He was dealing with the mundane aspects of living, how to provide for food for his family. Doesn't everybody have to do this? There is a story told about one of these Hasidic rebbes. I don't remember which one, and I apologize for that. He was studying Torah, and his grandson was playing in the room. His daughter had asked him to watch her son while she had an errand to run. So he was watching the boy play, and he was studying his Torah. And the little boy, 4, 5, 6 years old, say to grandfather, I'm hungry. And the Sadie looked up from his study and he looked at the boy and he said, no, you're not. Go play some more. How did the Sadie know that he wasn't hungry? The Sadie's a righteous man. He knows. The boy plays for 3 minutes more, 7 minutes more. How much longer can a little boy who's hungry play? Sadie, I'm hungry. Grandfather looks up. He looks at the boy. No, you're not. Go play with the marbles. Four minutes later, the boy says to the Sadie, Sadie, I'm really hungry. I'm starving. Help me. I need some food. The grandfather looks up from his study and he looks at the boy. I'm sorry, Tatalu. You're not hungry. Go see who's at the door, if somebody's at the door. And he gets to the door, and before he opens the door, the grandfather says to the boy, Tatala, come here. I'm really sorry. I didn't realize that you were so hungry. I just found this coin on the table. Take it and go get something to eat. It's a story. What is it saying? For this tzaddik, Hashem provides. Before he saw the coin, he knew the boy wasn't hungry because God hadn't provided him the means to feed the boy. This is a tremendous lesson that most of us are not on the level to manifest. But if we don't even think that we can, we don't even think that it's potentially capable, we will never achieve this level. Once a year, your money is determined for you. Whether you work hard or don't work at all, the amount of money is determined. Will there be enough to pay your rent? Will there be enough to put food on your table? Always. I can say this because I have been homeless personally. I ran a very large business, got into a family fight, handed the business over to my sisters. I was left totally depressed. Because of the family potential fight, because of all the conflict and all the craziness that family businesses generate. This is a business that employed 400 people. And I went from that lifestyle to living in an apartment that cost me $1,000 a month with a roommate. And guess what? My sisters never paid me the agreed amount. I had to leave the apartment. I became homeless. Yes, I had a friend who put me on a couch on the floor of his apartment and charged me $200 for the floor space. Baruch Hashem, I had this friend. Or is this from Hashem? Which is your consciousness? Why did I need to experience this? Why did I need to go through this? Every person will be taken care of by Hashem each and every day. There are stories told about the sages that never went to bed with a coin in their pocket. Why? Because if they went to bed with a coin in their pocket, it meant that they had not distributed the charity, the tzedakah, the tithing that they needed to give. That was only given to them to share with others. They knew that tomorrow Hashem would provide them a new coin, a new supply of money. Why does Hashem pay us weekly? Well, no, my job pays me weekly. My job pays me every other week. My job pays me once a month. Nobody I know gets paid once a year, but maybe that happens. Why does Hashem do it this way? It's not my job who pays me. It's Hashem who's giving this source of this job as its channel, his channel to me. What is the purpose of this? Why doesn't he give me, right at the beginning, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, why doesn't he give me all of the money for the year? I'll spend it wisely. I know I don't get any more till the end of the year. Why doesn't he trust me to give it to me all at once? And a very simple reason. He wants you to ask him for it. He wants you to connect to him. He wants to connect with you more directly than just observing you fumble around in this physical world. Hashem provides everything you need, but he asks that you ask him for it. And that's the purpose of daily prayer. That's the purpose of saying Poteach et Yadecha three times a day. That's the purpose. But I want more than I'm earning. Okay. You have a desire. He wants to share more than even you desire. Why doesn't it happen? Because there's a total package. There's you and all of your averot and all of your habits and all of those minutes that you're not thinking of him. This is all part of the package that blocks you from receiving what you want. Oh, but I have to be the one to make it happen. This is absolutely true. You have to start the process. You have to do an action. That action can be prayer. Do you know anybody who just sits and prays, sits and studies, and he lives, he gets money? I know people. I do know people who've done this. I watched it in amazement. My ex-roommate, that man that I lived with, started a kollel. He started a study house on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. He got a friend to rent him the space. The first month the rent was due, he didn't have it. His friend has no choice legally. He put up a three-day notice to evict. I have a three-day notice to evict for my rental. When I was thrown out of the other one, I went through this process. I called all my friends. Can you lend me the money? But they lend me money for a month. They lend me money for 2 months. But, you know, after a while, they can't lend you. Well, he didn't do that. I called all my friends. I ran around trying to find money. He didn't. He sat and studied Torah. I would go in and we'd study together. And I, as I said, I watched in amazement. How can you study Torah when there's a three-day notice on your door? You didn't even take it off. You let the whole world see it. His answer to me was, Hashem will provide. Baruch Hashem. If Hashem wants me on the street, I'll be on the street. He never was on the street, ever. And he never paid his rent on time. Every month there's a three-day notice. And before the landlord arrives for the money, somebody walked in and handed him a check, a donation, to keep his kollel open. Month after month, this was the procedure. Hashem was testing him. Hashem wanted him to see this. What did he really want? He was an Israeli. He wanted to return to Israel. That's what he did. When it was time for him to go back to Israel, that's what he did. The whole purpose behind all of these stories is to have you start to think. Have you start to view the world a little differently than you've been taught for 20 years, for 40 years, for 60 years, for 80 years. We've all been taught by the Western world. You go to work, you work hard, you'll be successful, everything will work out. This is the Western view of the world. This is not Judaism's view of the world. Judaism's view of the world is it's not the goal to go to Israel. It's not the goal to earn more money. It's not the goal. Yes, you have to have a goal. Because if you don't have a goal, you have no target to shoot for. But it is the process, day by day. Yes, you go to work. Can you study Torah at work? Maybe you can't study it in the traditional sense, but you can certainly learn to live it by treating the people who you talk to with human dignity. When they yell at you because they're upset, you can say, you know, I understand. Yell some more. Take it out on me. I can handle it. The process of how we view the world. Judaism tells us process. Day by day. Speak to Hashem. That's what we do in our prayers. He will provide you with what you need. Maybe not what you want yet, but what you need. Every prayer request is always granted. But I asked my mother, I prayed for my mother to be healed and she died of cancer. How can I make that statement? He never told me which lifetime that prayer would be answered. He never guaranteed it would be answered in this process, this lifetime's process. He guarantees me it will be answered in one of the days process, in one of the lives process. Earlier, I looked at this handout and said, 3 hours of my work preparing for this was gone. Where did it go? Technical glitch. How could? Should I have been upset? Should I have not talked to you about this prayer? I had nothing else prepared, so what was I going to talk to you about? Hashem provides. That glitch came from Hashem. He was telling me, you did those 3 hours of work, Baruch Hashem, thank you very much. It's not ready to be revealed yet. Reveal it differently. Proceed to do it differently. That's what his message was for me. But each and every one of you also have this message. Why isn't it there for you? Why isn't the material ready to be revealed to you? I have to ask myself, you have to ask yourselves, why was there a technical glitch? Talking about a subject of Parnassah, talking about a hand, a structure of opening up your hands. How do you ask God for your Parnassah? Do you go through the prayers rotely? Just step by, read the words, or not even read the words, not even pray? What do you do? I am not judging anybody who doesn't pray. I am not judging anybody who goes through the prayers rotely. I am saying, if you want more, you have to do more. More connection. Not to go from no connection to 7 hours of prayer a day tomorrow. That's not connection. That's not process. Process is step by step. I am preparing every Sunday for you a lesson, a prayer, giving you the concepts, giving you the Kavanah for this prayer. I don't know all the Kavanah. I'm giving you what I have learned. What is the purpose of that? Are you supposed to take what I teach you on Sunday and do it from now on? Many of you are not ready to do that for whatever reason. But that doesn't mean that a year from now you won't say to yourself, wait a second, I need to say Ashrei another time in the day. I'm saying it once a day, I need to add a time. Wait a second, I need to say the Shema 3 times a day. I'm only saying it once. I forgot yesterday. I'll make sure that every day I say it once. Step by step, add to your connection to the Creator. None of us, let me rephrase that, not all of us are supposed to become Talmid Chachamim, wise people. Not all of us are supposed to be studying Torah 12 hours a day. But I grew up not studying Torah at all. I was 45 years old and I walked into the Kabbalah Center. And all of a sudden, I'm learning Kabbalah, whatever level I was at, process step by step. It's now 20 years later. What is this process? I'm still going through a process, day by day. I have been given the gift of being homeless, of watching when I got hungry, somebody would hand me money. Sometimes I had to ask him for the money. Most of the time I didn't. They would just put money in my hand and say, go get something to eat. Hashem provides. Maybe he provides just a space on the floor of somebody's apartment, but he provides. Well, what about the guy who's homeless? What about the guy who doesn't have? This is our shame. This is our responsibility. But he's a drug addict. He's crazy. He's a schizophrenic. He doesn't want to hold a job. Ultimately, we are all connected as one. We are all unified as the endless vessel. If the endless vessel isn't receiving what he needs, any component of the endless vessel is not receiving what he needs, then the rest of us in this world are not doing our jobs. We are creating it for him. But he's the one who's creating it. He's the one who's not working. Yes, he's not working. And yes, it may not be our job to go hand him a dollar and search him out. But when he approaches us, there's a tikkun that needs to be corrected here. Maybe it's to give him the dollar, maybe it's not to give him the dollar. If you are connected through your own connection to Hashem, you'll know what the right thing to do is. It's all process. Every day is part of the process to learn to connect to your own intuition, which is really connecting to Hashem. Does anybody have any questions or any comments? I'm going to turn the phone on so you can ask questions. Should be
hello.
Able to just yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello?
Hanok.
Yes.
Hanok. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
This is Richard.
How are you, Richard? Nice to hear from you. How's all my
thank you. Listen, how many times a day are you supposed to say the Shema Israel?
Three times a day minimum. But the minimum
okay,
means if you didn't say it yesterday, say it once today. It's process,
okay.
Richard. It's not a question to ask me. I know people who say it five times a day. How many times do you say the Ana B'Koach? If you're not saying it 1,000 times a day, you're not saying it enough. Because there's 1,000 times in every day that you could make a connection to the Creator. And that's really the strongest connection, even more powerful than the Shema.
All right. Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Have I overwhelmed you or totally upset you? Which is it?
How come, let me ask this question. How come some people are wealthy and some people are not?
Because Hashem is merciful. He gives every wealthy person a poor person to share with. If you're wealthy,
if you look at today's statistics, I'm going by what we see today in the news. I have to always go back. I'm sorry, but I have to go back.
If that's fine, Joe.
Income disparity in Israel.
That's fine.
Income disparity.
Yes.
It's getting horrendous.
Joe, would
a situation like that collapse eventually?
Joe, there is such a thing as a revolution, and there is such a thing as an evolution. Do you want to live through a revolution or an evolution? What is the appropriate place? What is the appropriate government for the world to live under? It's the government of Mashiach. Mashiach is a king. Is he a king in Israel, or is he a king in the world? Mashiach is the government. Torah is the government. Is the Western world a function of Torah? It's been progressing, evolving towards it. Look at your history for the last 2,000 years. It went from a king, a despot, to democratically elected officials who became corrupt, etc., etc. It's a process. It's an evolution. Will it collapse? Absolutely. Will it collapse tomorrow? No. Will it collapse tomorrow if Mashiach comes? God forbid it comes in a revolutionary form that is chaotic for so many people. Moshe did not go into the land, not because he hit the rock, not because he made a mistake, but because the people were not ready for Mashiach. And that's still a true statement. Mashiach will come when we are ready. Is your bag packed? You don't have to answer the question, Joe. My bag is packed. What is my bag packed for? Well, I got to take my books to Israel when I go. I can't find Torah books in Israel. What do I need to take them with me? I'm still connected to physicality. I want my books. I haven't cleansed myself completely, but I'm looking at that. I'm questioning that. I'm always striving to get a stronger connection to the Creator. But that's my connection. It's not your connection. Your connection is unique to you. That's the purpose of prayer. That's the purpose of individual prayer, and that's the purpose of communal prayer. They're both necessary. They're both unique. You ask the very good question, why is there poor people? And the Zohar says there will always be poor. Because God, in his mercy, provides a poor person for the wealthy person to share with. Why does he provide a poor person? Because if the wealthy person doesn't share, he loses his money. I can tell you story after story about how people had wealthy businesses like mine, and then I had nothing. Why did that happen? Revolutionary style, overnight. Well, it was my decision. I could have kept control of the business and fought with my sisters through the court and all the other garbage that people, families fight about. I chose not that path and not to go that path. Last lifetime, I probably went that path. Who knows? Why are there poor people? To provide someone for you to reach in your pocket and go against your nature. It's very difficult for a human being to share money he thinks he earned. It's only when you realize that you are a channel from Hashem to this poor person that you will have reached the level where you can truly understand, why is this person poor? It's not anything he did. It's a correction for him. But it's more of a correction for you to share with him. When you give a dollar to a homeless man, do you think of him as your friend? Do you think of him as your brother? No, he's a poor person. He's less than me. When will we change our consciousness? And I say we. I had a person break into my house. And I realize we're running over time, so I'll say this quickly. The person was caught by my roommates. It was my decision as to what to do with this person. Call the police, have him arrested. I took him out to lunch. I made sure that after the excitement of the chase and the process, take a shower, calm down, relax. We'll go have some lunch together. And that's what we did. Is this a normal human response in Western society? No. Am I a rookie because I did it? No. I had no choice. I have learned the system. I have to manifest the laws of the system. Does anybody have any questions or comments? We're running. We've gone over time, and I apologize for that. Have a beautiful week, you all. Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Brian, join the phone call or the Ubu call. Rosh Chodesh for Tammuz is an amazing information about how to protect yourself from the plague of cancer. Shalom.
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 Thank you.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, sir.